Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Simon's not here to talk about that, but he can enter the competition. It is about marking the end of harvest season, as we well know. That's October, but it also marks Black History Month. And in 2014, something I didn't know, Ireland became only the fourth country in the world to officially honour black culture and heritage in this way, following in the footsteps of the US, the UK and Canada. So to celebrate it, Simon of Simon Marr of 8 Radio, he joins me on the line now to discuss some of the most influential black musicians in modern music and songs that made a point politically or socially or just musically. So Simon, where do you want to start?
See, this is there's so many of these, so to be, because people inevitably give out and say, how did you leave out Black? We've picked 15. We've just picked 15
gosh.
At random.
Okay,
and I'm starting close to home because I'm gonna start with Phil Lynott.
What's the track?
So the track we're going to play is, funny enough, it's a collaboration that he did with Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits, which is one of the more unusual things that he was doing. But he was doing work with Mark Knopfler at that point. He was doing work with Huey Lewis at the same time.
Yeah.
But this, he released two solo albums, Solo in Soho and the Phil Lynott album. But this is definitely one of his more political tracks. This is Ode to Liberty, the protest song.
Just give you a blast. Thing about that, it's very Bob Dylan-y the way he's singing.
It is. It's distinctly Bob Dylan.
Really
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think he always said himself that he loved that troubadour-y style of things.
Right.
And I think when he got to do the two albums that Lynott did they're mixed. But I think in particular, the Philip Lynott album is particularly good. But
right.
There's tracks on it like that, and the fact that suddenly he wrote that with the guy's name is almost Jimmy Bain from Rainbow. Yeah, and he obviously played with Thin Lizzy and stuff as well. But the two of them wrote that together.
Yeah,
and
Jimmy
Lynott
Bain
said himself,
would not necessarily be the greatest influence on Philo's life if you look at the history. And we'll see the movie coming
that's
out
true.
Soon too, by the way.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And obviously, very Dire Straits, sounds very Mark Knopfler. Okay, so we're up and running on this here. We're talking here about the whole idea. Black History Month is what it is here. And you're just going to look through some songs, politically, socially, musically, or whatever, from right across the spectrum, because there's a million you can pick from. And you just, so that's from 82, Phil Lynott, or Phil Lynott, if you like, Ode to Liberty. Where are you going next, Simon?
We're jumping on Prince next, right? So born 1958, sadly died, obviously, 2016. Widely regarded as one of the greatest musicians of his generation. I think it's a perfectly fair thing to do. And what he did was, not alone was he was very active in terms of the music that he did, but also he always pushed the boundaries, was always looking to stretch the boundaries. And then when he got involved in, and at the time, it was bizarrely that it was taken about, look, you've managed to establish yourself as a black musician in a white top 40 world now. Don't be pushing things. And it took him a while, I think, to work it, to either build the confidence or get the support behind him to say, actually, no, I can sing about things. I can sing about things that I want to. And when he wrote and recorded Sign of the Times, which was a big, like a monster double album at the time, but But the idea of going thematically down that route was a brave decision for the moment that it was.
Okay, before I play a bit of that, take me through Beyoncé as well and let's see where we're going.
Yeah, Beyoncé. Well, to think Beyoncé. So what? Probably one of the biggest artists in the world right now. When you think from back to Destiny's Child days and then first solo album, I think it's around about 2003, 2004, there or thereabouts. Definitely one of the most powerful women in music now. Was already, Destiny's Child were huge, but then came out on her own and again has become something much bigger than the music that she plays. Obviously enough, has a famous spouse as well who we'll deal with later on. But still, in her own right, one of those, and definitely up on a scale with the likes of, you know, Aretha Franklin, or those are the people who would be massively influential black musicians.
Okay, I'll give you a blast of what you're talking about here. Okay, filled in at Ode to Liberty. You also heard Sign of the Times from Prince, Crazy in Love from Beyonce. And before I even ask you, Simon, I'm pretty sure you're going to have this one in there somewhere, no question about it. Simon, I presume in the billions that you could pick from, you do have that one in there somewhere.
Of course, look, it goes without saying, Dave. Like, you know, when we did our Musical Legend series in the summer, we chose Marvin Gaye as one of them. And What's Going On is one of those albums, you know. And I know people talk about, you know, songs or artists or albums being important, but it's got to be couched in a good record. Otherwise, people are not going to get to hear it. And in What's Going On, when they released the album, is that it did both of those things. It was a record of its time, you know, which made an awful lot of statements, but it was also a really, really good record. And what's really interesting, the reason why it's back in frame, I suppose, this month, is that Rolling Stone magazine have gone back and revisited their top 500 albums of all time that they did back in 2002, there or thereabouts. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was the number one album, which is a mighty fine album as well. But in the 2020 iteration of it, Marvin Gaye's What's Going On is now the number one album in Rolling Stone's top 500.
All right, fair enough. So where are you going next?
Yeah, so great album. Aretha Franklin is next. And it, again, can't be underestimated. But again, it's the records. The records are great. You know, started off as a gospel singer in, you know, Tennessee and Detroit and all of that stuff. Quite quickly had got to a point, you know, by 1970 or 1971, where she was regarded as the queen of soul and one of the most important artists of her time. But went on and recorded albums that really started to get much more political, like Amazing Grace in 72 or Young, Gifted and Black as well. You know, and lots and lots of that has gone on and has been cited as a massive influence to everybody from Adele to Amy Winehouse and all of those people, even to the point where Rolling in the Deep, there's an Aretha Franklin cover that people should get to listen to at some stage of Adele's Rolling in the Deep as well, which is an amazing one. But she performed at the inauguration ceremonies for Bill Clinton, for Barack Obama, but just a massive artist in every possible way.
Must begin to tell.
That's what it's called, Young, Gifted and Black. That is Aretha Franklin. So where next, Simon?
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I love that. And I think it's on one of the RTE In Concert albums from years and years ago, that there's the Blades do a version of Young, Gifted and Black on the album. Yeah. You know, and it's great. It's just a great song. But Aretha Franklin, amazing, amazing. Stevie Wonder's next. Right. And Stevie Wonder, obviously, apart from one of the biggest artists in the world, 100 million records sold, 25 Grammys, won an Oscar, Hall of Fame, all of that sort of stuff. But is remembered a lot then from released a song called Happy Birthday in the very, very early 1980s, which eventually led to the creation of Martin Luther King Day in the States as well. Was one of the first artists to be banned from being played in South Africa because of his opposition to apartheid back then. And for somebody who, a lot of the time when people think about Stevie Wonder, you know, they remember, you know, I just called to say I love you and all of that sort of stuff that maybe that little bit more schmaltzy. But he really recorded some very, very good albums and some really great tunes over the course of the year. Somebody who I am regretful that I've never seen play live, but one of my favourite Stevie Wonder tracks is definitely Pastime Paradise.
Yeah, I saw him. He played the RDS indoors or whatever. I saw him at that. Yeah, many years ago. I don't know how many
and
years ago. Yeah,
good.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I must say, this one is a very famous song. Although I prefer his Talking Book album.
Dispensation, isolation, exploitation, mutilation, mutation, miscreation, information to the evils of the world, and spending most of their lives living in a future paradise, and spending most of their lives living in a future paradise.
Pastime Paradise is what it's called, from Songs in the Key of Life, roughly mid-70s, I presume. That's Stevie Wonder. Okay.
Yeah, I do know. I really like that too. Yeah. There's so many of these records that you can imagine listening to. The real driving around in a car with the windows down, so the records, like, you know, it's brilliant stuff. Bob Marley next, maybe?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so
which song?
What Redemption Song, I think, is probably where you have to go with this. You know, but when you think there's certain dangerous ages to be a musician, it's dangerous to be 27. And as you've already seen, it was very dangerous to be 36. And unfortunately, in 1981, Bob Marley died at just age 36. But in terms of musical legacy that he left behind, and in terms of what he did for the Caribbean and the Caribbean islands, it's some serious legacy too. But this is Redemption Song.
It is. Hold on, I've got a problem here with one of these songs that I can't stop here. I don't know what's going on. Just keep
Stevie,
talking.
Stevie Wonder's just, still going. No, but when
just,
do you think?
Yeah, just give me. I don't know what it's doing. It's doing a weird thing. You're still playing. Here, I'll tell you what. Just talk about the next one. I'll play Redemption Song with it.
Okay, well, so that's Bob Marley and Redemption. Whitney Houston again, another massive artist. And a lot of these artists, and it's something that has always terrified me, and I love a good musical biography, but reading about any artist who gets great fame very, very quickly, and before she had turned 22, she had a whole pile of number one hits. I think went on to have 7 consecutive number one records, which was a big, big deal at the time. Was in 1987, she was the first woman to debut at number one on the Billboard album chart with her album Whitney. She got to number one with Where Do Broken Hearts Go the following year. The only artist to have 7 consecutive number one singles on the Billboard Hot 100. And the most prior to that had actually been the Bee Gees. But Whitney, for that period of time again, was absolutely massive, and again was seen as somebody who had managed to I suppose rise to the gospel world and suddenly make this popular music breakthrough.
Okay, first you said Bob Marley.
Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation.
triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs.
We can take the night into
couldn't get two more different songs than that. All right, Redemption Song from Bob Marley and Didn't We Almost Have It All from Whitney Houston. Good examples. And in fact, let's make it three completely different ones. How about this? Now, Simon, because first of all, you should hear the version by the Residents. It's fantastic. Anyway, how are you going to explain yourself to that?
Yeah, exactly. But how do you explain James Brown in general? It's funny. One of the first things when I went and I was just said, I must find out the basics, you know, what year he died and all of those things, the amount of number ones. But one of the first figures that I came across was children, and it had 9 and then in brackets, possibly 13. Closed brackets, and I went, right, that's James Brown for you. But definitely, he was known as the hardest working man in show business, Mr. Dynamite, Godfather of Soul, all of those things that he was around for. Started off really in an R&B world, but developed into this much more sort of soulful presence as time went on. Could you say, Dave, would it be fair to say a larger than life personality?
Do you know, funny thing is, it's really weird you should say that, because I have a story about James Brown, which I'm not going to tell here. It's a bit not kind of afternoon radio, pop music, all the rest, but it's fantastic. It was that Witness, was it? Or maybe it was that Electric Picnic, I don't know, but he was backstage going from sort of A to B, and I was talking to him for about a minute, and it was just fantastic. It was one of the funniest things. Anyway, I don't want to put people off their dinner. Anyway, go on. I'll tell you what. Okay, we go from James Brown to this one here. This is, you mentioned Jay-Z, or let's try a bit of Jay-Z.
99 pounds for the bitch ain't one. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. Yeah, it's 94 and my trunk is raw. And my rear view mirror is the motherfucking law. Got two choices, y'all. Pull over the car or bounce on the devil, put the pedal to the floor. And I ain't trying to see no highway chase with Jake. Plus I got a few dollars, I can fight the case. So I pull over to the side of the road, I heard. Son, do you know why I'm stopping you for? Cause I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a mind reader, sir? I don't know. Am I under arrest or should I guess some more? Well, you was doing 55 in the 54. Lost the registration and step out of the car. You carrying a weapon on you, I know a lot of you are. I ain't stepping out of the door, my paper's legit. Well, do you mind if I look around the car a little bit? Well, my glove compartment is locked, so is the trunk in the back. And I know my rights, so you gon' need a warrant for that. Aren't you sharp to tack? You some type of law or something, somebody important or something. I ain't passed the ball.
99 problems. So what are you going to tell me about that one there now?
Jay-Z, again, like a huge, huge star. And that's the thing, in that world of being a big star. He's talked himself, obviously enough, about his own demons. But he's talked in particular about the pressure that he's found himself under as being, when people come along, we mentioned Whitney Houston earlier on, and we said she was the first black female artist to get to number one, you know, to go straight in at number one. Jay-Z has talked a lot about, he was the first black artist to sell 50 million records or get, you know, 15 Grammys or whatever it was. And he's talked a lot about the pressure that that has brought on him and the things that it has done to him. But it hasn't stopped him from being very active and somebody who talks and gets involved in an awful lot of causes. Going right back to us with the early days of the most recent version of the Black Lives Matter movement, go back 2006, 2007, was around in the Barack Obama days as well. Has, you know, got heavily involved in same-sex marriage campaigns. And in between, has sold literally millions of records and married Beyonce.
Well, then let's go down to Louisiana, down to New Orleans. That's the name of the song, Johnny Be Good. Now, he was a pretty special guy, Chuck Berry, mad as a hatter, but in the Bobby Sox and Ponytail music of 55 to 60, some of the greatest American music of all time, he was the big black star shining out, wasn't he?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the thing, like, when you think around about that time, it was just something that just didn't happen. But Chuck Berry was there, and there was something about whether that was his, you know, his presence or his forcefulness or whatever it was that caused him to be able to rise to the top then. When you think Maybelline, I think, was 1955, there or thereabouts, you know, and you go right the way up to the much more modern day pop culture influences like John Travolta, Uma Thurman doing a Dance That You Never Can Tell and Pulp Fiction, all of that stuff. A definite dark side to him as well, which I think has been well documented at this stage, which has meant his legacy, his personal legacy in particular, is distinctly mixed. But as a musician and as somebody who made a difference musically in those days, it can't be doubted.
Actually, I have another great story with Chuck Berry and BP and Sligo, but I'll tell you about that sometime. It's fantastic. He had this limousine going across the fields, going bump, 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 but he steps out of the limo and Beep does his thing. Come on, man. It was so good. You have to have been there. Anyway, where was I? So where are you going next?
I think Nina Simone next.
Nina Simone, okay.
What, yes, yes.
What track?
Yeah. So musical. So we're going to do Sinner Man, which is, there's so many tracks that we could have done from Nina Simone, but I've chosen Sinner Man to do this. So again, musical longevity as much as anything else. What do you think? Changed her name to Nina Simone in 1954. She used to be Eunice Kathleen Waymon. But huge amount of tracks that were that I've become really part of, and they talk about the Great American Songbook, but they also just talk about tracks that have made it into the, you know, the list of essential songs that you must hear over the year. And when you talk about the people who cite her as an important musical influence, you've got Bowie, you've got Elton John, you've got Bono, Lana Del Rey, Aretha Franklin, Jeff Buckley, Lauryn Hill, Matt Bellamy, obviously enough, Peter Gabriel and Adele. They're just everywhere. Everybody listened to Nina Simone, and quite rightly too.
Where you gonna run to? Where you gonna run to? All on that day, will I run to the rock? Please hide me and run to the rock. Please hide me and run to the rock. Please hide me, Lord, all on that day. But the rock cried out, I can't hide you, the rock cried out. I can't hide you, the rock cried out. I ain't gonna hide you down all on that day. I said, Rock, what's the matter with you, Rock?
A 10-minute plus version there on the Pastel Blues album. The Pastel Blues album. The point is, we don't have an awful lot of time, so I don't know where you're going next time. That, by the way, that's Nina Simone with Cinnamon. Give me one
and
more.
And she's brilliant.
So
she's brilliant. Jimmy. Okay, Jimi Hendrix. Think right. Jimi Hendrix started off, joined the army, playing guitar from the age of 15, played with Little Richard and the Isley Brothers in their backing bands, then formed a band called the Jimi Hendrix Experience. The rest is history. Became one of the biggest bands in the world, obviously almost overnight, but it died in 1970, aged just 27. Never got to fulfill his potential, but again, musical legacy in terms of what he left behind and I suppose the barriers that he knocked down as he did it.
Right, well, I don't have a story of him, but I'll tell you, I'll give you a blast. Yeah, with Buddy Cox and Billy Cox and Buddy Miles on that one there. That is Machine Gun from around 1970 direction, just before he died. That's Jimi Hendrix. So where next,
There's great grainy old 16mm film footage of Hendrix playing those gigs that's knocking around the place. That's worth a look. Michael Jackson. So from Jimi Hendrix to Michael Jackson. But King of Pop, fame that probably no other, and I'm not even saying about, you know, in terms of important black musicians, but in terms of the level of fame that he had, has there ever been another musician who has been as famous as Michael Jackson was? When you think taking it from the very, very early days, the Jacksons, right the way up through. And again, so many stories and so many other parts of his legacy. But musically, absolutely huge. Thriller became the biggest album ever for a long, 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 long time. And Bad, that followed it up as well. And really became like one of the first absolute global superstars that there was, particularly of the pop music age.
We've got about 13 of your 15. We'll just do one more. We'll leave out Diana Ross for the moment because I think we're going to play something from her. That's, by the way, They Don't Care About Us from Michael Jackson. But the last one I want to mention here, because let's get an English. Actually, she's not English. Nina Cherry.
She's Swedish. Yes.
Yeah.
It's Nina Cherry. Yeah. And Nina Marianne Carlson, as she is in real life. Yeah, I think I've always been a big fan. We're All Like Sushi was the big, big album for her, where she had it. But she started off in a whole pile of punk and post-punk bands, the Slits and Rip Rig and Panic and all sorts of things. But it was when she released Raw Like Sushi then, in probably later in the 80s, probably 88, 89 when it came out. And Buffalo Stance was a single that was released from it, and people said, oh my goodness, now this is something that's worth hearing.
Yeah, Buffalo Stance, fantastic. Listen, Simon Marr, thanks a million for talking to us on the programme this afternoon. I kept you longer than I thought I might, 45 minutes or so. 8 Radio is what we're talking about. Simon Marr.
Thanks, Dave.
So we'll give this a blast. Great track.
How melodic.
Stance it is, that's from Naina Cherry.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.